One of the strong themes that comes through in our scriptures this Advent is that of joy. And therefore, for these next few weeks, we're going to be dwelling on the topic of joy and its role in the life of a Christian. In this homily series, A Disciple Has Joy. And while I'm loath to bring cell phones into the liturgy, there's something that happened this morning that I just had to share with you. After my prayer, I happened to look at my phone, as I sometimes do, just to check ESPN, pious site. And what would you know? There's an article on joy. It's entitled, Had It, Lost It, The Warriors and the Elusive Quest for Joy. Okay? Golden State Warriors basketball team in Oakland. And in that article, we find this quote from none other than the great sage Kevin Durant. All right? I feel like a lot of people confuse joy and happiness, the Warriors forward to old ESPN. I think happiness is fleeting. I think happiness is a feeling and that it's fleeting. It means you can go back and forth all the time. But joy is something that you can stand on. And when you're enjoying what you do, you don't mind the adversity, the tough times, the challenges, the little obstacles you got to climb to get to where you want to go. I think joy is something that we can always hold on to. Then he goes on to talk about basketball. Yeah. That's where I lost him. I mean, telling a Minnesota sports fan that sports is your source of abiding joy is just a little bit of a far stretch. But it should make us consider, though, what is joy? What does it mean? What does it mean to have a joy that we can truly stand on? This trait that is supposed to define us as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, people who have joy. Because when we look in the world and the things that the world points out to us as sources of joy, we find that none of them are really all that stable. What are the things that people rejoice in? Victories, yes. Victories in sports or victories in war or victories in politics. Or perhaps simply celebrations, food and wine and good times. Music, good fortune. All things that are fleeting. Things that can be so easily taken away from us. Things that provide no real firm foundation when it comes right down to it. And that can only lead to a joy that comes and goes. That sometimes leaves us high up in the mountains and sometimes down in deep, dark valleys. But where is the joy that endures in all of that? If it's rooted simply in things outside of us, external circumstances that aren't finally in our power, then it's not there. And if that joy can be so easily taken away from us, it leads us to wonder, really, whether it's really that serious of a thing in the first place, doesn't it? If it can so easily wisp away like a cloud in the sun, can the joy that the world offers us really stand up before the seriousness of human life? Before the difficult times, before the hard times, the times when we mourn and ache and hurt? Or is it simply a shallow illusion? If we want true joy, we need to find a source of joy that can't be taken away from us and that can persevere through the difficult times as well as the good times. We don't want a joy that's like cheap bubble gum, right? You can laugh there. That's trying to be a joke. Okay. Where you put it in your mouth and it tastes sweet for 5 seconds and then suddenly it's rubber, right? And why'd you spend that 5 cents on it? You're wondering, you're asking yourselves. You don't want joy that's like Kool-Aid, right, that tastes good for a while, but then gives you a stomach ache and makes you have to go to the dentist. You want something stable, something deep, something profound, not simply a vague feeling that easily comes and goes. There is nothing vague about the word of God that came to John. Indeed, it came to him in the desert with all the concreteness and definitiveness of a historical event. Luke, in his gospel today, seems to want to drive that point home, that this happened at a specific time in a specific place, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, Tetrarch of the region, and Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. Then, at that time, the word of God came. Not to those men in palaces, those men who represent the joys of the world, the luxury, the honor, the power, the pleasure of the world, the things that fly away too quickly, but rather to a poor, strange man in the desert, dressed in camel's hair, eating locusts and honey. The word of God came to him with a rock-solid definitiveness. It caused him to open his mouth and say, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight a highway for our God. The mountains will be lowered, the valleys filled in, the rough ways made smooth, so that all flesh can see the salvation of our God." Brothers and sisters, this is not something vague. This is not something fragile, like a child's emotions, for instance. This is not something that can be easily taken away. When God's word speaks, it reaches its effect. God spoke and the world came to be. God spoke and the Red Sea was turned to blood. God spoke and water becomes wine. God speaks and his word becomes flesh. And Jesus, our Lord, who comes to deliver us. And this is something that can give us joy when we really allow it to hit our hearts. A joy that we can stand on. A joy with a foundation. A joy that will not abandon us even in the difficult and dark times. It was in a difficult and dark time when the prophet Baruch spoke to the people of Israel, "Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery and put on the splendor of glory of God forever. Up, Jerusalem, stand on the heights, look to the east and see your children gathered from the east and the west. For God has commanded, every lofty mountain shall be made low, and the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground." God's word is effective, it's more powerful than anything else in the world, and when he speaks, it cannot be undone. When he speaks, it cannot be undone. When he gives his love in Jesus Christ, it's not something that can be taken back or withdrawn from us. It's something on which we can rely and depend. All we need to do is make straight the pathway for him to enter our hearts. The mountains in our lives, those false joys, those false idols that get in the way of God coming into us, our obsession with pleasures and power and riches and honor, the fleeting joys of this world, they need to be lowered, cast down, so that we can place our heart on God again and allow him to enter. And those deep valleys, which we think God's love cannot touch, our guilt, our shame, our hurt, our pain, these the Lord wishes to be raised, the age-old gorges, so that we can offer them to him and he can come and meet us there. His joy is not a fragile joy, not something that shrinks behind the darkness or before the darkness. It is a joy of power, a joy that gives us an abiding sense of well-being, and knowing that we're cared for by him. It is something rock solid on which we can depend. This Advent season, let us indeed prepare our hearts. Let us make straight the way of the Lord so that his joy can enter and we can know him as our foundation and our rock.